You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. It's Hour 2, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We will give you our best and worst of the weekend coming up. Got a poll question, a couple of stats of the day. And we'll hear from the Joker after getting tossed yesterday. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, that's Peacock, and also our TV, our radio partners, numbering nearly 400 cities around America. You had some tennis yesterday that I was watching, and I was kind of going in and out. You got Djokovic, who won the French Open, his 19th major, and that's one shy of the all-time record. That's currently shared by Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. And Djokovic is 34 and has a great chance to surpass his two longtime foes. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Tiger Woods chasing Jack Nicklaus and that major. But in America, men's tennis majors aren't a topic. That's because none of the big three are American. And we've invested in Serena Williams. But it's a tricky record to wrap your head around. Is Djokovic better than Pete Sampras or Rod Laver or Bjorn Borg? The sport they play today is a whole lot different than it was 30 or 40 years ago. Health, medicine allow these players to compete for a longer period of time. And the rackets certainly help as well. We all know for sure that Djokovic is an all-time player and all-time athlete, no matter how much we do or don't talk about tennis and him. Also, to be able to do it in the era where you have Nadal and Federer, who have won 39 majors between them. And then you get Djokovic, who, I mean, it's pretty incredible that you're able to win. It'd be like if somebody played in the Tiger Woods era and they won 9 majors, but they didn't. You know, because Tiger just dominated everybody. These are two of the greatest players of all time. You can make a case that Federer is the greatest player of all time. But in his era, Djokovic has 19 Grand Slams. Having rivals helps. Didn't feel like Pete Sampras had a rival there. Connors, McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, Yvonne Lendl. You know, having that rivalry, that's what you want. Chris Everett with Martina. I don't know if Serena's really had a rival, but to be able to have that rivalry makes those victories stand out even more. And you have Nadal, who's the greatest clay court player of all time, and you dust him off in 4 sets. Federer, to me, is still the greatest player. Although you can make a case in a different era, Rod Laver was the greatest player of all time. But with what Federer, and the reason why I go back to Federer is when I asked Pete Sampras about this years ago, I said, you know, what do you think of Federer? And he said, he will attempt shots that I can't even think about. Like, I don't even have that in my imagination. And he's attempting those shots and pulling those off. That says an awful lot about, you know, here's Sampras with, 16 Grand Slam events, looking at Roger Federer, and just the fact that what he does, how he does it, he's doing things that I wouldn't even think of doing as far as a shot there. But Djokovic is incredible. I mean, really, it didn't look like he was working up a sweat. And he always looks like he's visiting a country club. He's going in to play tennis at the club. You know, his shorts are, you know, perfectly starched and creases in his shirt that he was wearing, his hair. He doesn't look out of sorts at all, whereas Nadal did. Nadal looked like he had played, you know, 10 sets. But that's pretty impressive. That's 19 majors. He's 34 years of age. But to have these three, that's remarkable. I mean, you go back to boxing where you had Sugar Ray, Tommy Hearns, you had Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Like, to win titles in that era, because that's who you had to go through, that's pretty incredible. Now, they don't face each other as many times as you do in tennis, but what Djokovic did yesterday was pretty pretty impressive. Yeah, Paul.
You're right about Djokovic. He doesn't seem to be a big sweater. And early in his career, he went up top button. He used to have, like, the polo shirt, and he'd go, he was so composed, he would go top button. Like, I don't even need to unbutton twice to get you down. I'm looking at pictures of him. He looks like it's a fifth set. And he looks like he's just starting the match.
Don't make me unbutton this next button. I don't want to do that to you.
No time.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
So I think this is an appropriate, impossible to rate athlete. Like, if we put a poll, is he overrated, underrated, properly rated, or impossible to rate? Because if he passes Federer in the major record, do we have to say he's better than Federer? Or, and you said it, you can't compare him to Rod Laver. I think he's impossible to rate.
Yeah, I think I would say Federer is still the best player that I've seen on all the surfaces. His athleticism. But Nadal fascinates me, probably more one-dimensional with clay. And that's what stood out even more is that he lost on clay. He doesn't lose on clay. And the fact that Djokovic was able to beat him in four sets was really remarkable. And Djokovic was down two sets yesterday. So you're down 0-2. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right. It gave the crowd, you know, it's almost like when Floyd Mayweather carried one of the Paul brothers. Like, you're just like, yeah, all right, I think it's time to end this now. We're done. And he just went boom, 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 and that was it. All right, we'll get to phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what we saw that we liked, we didn't like. The Packers continue to make things worse. Oh, I saw this with Mark Murphy is the CEO of the Packers, and he's at some fan event. You know, a lot of times when you go to these things, you go to a luncheon, there's no cameras, you get a little loose sometimes. You know, you're playing to a hometown crowd. This is Mark Murphy, who's already said that Aaron Rodgers, what's going on is dividing our fan base. If somebody has a cell phone, they start to record this, and then he's quoting the late GM, Ted Thompson, where Ted Thompson referred to Aaron Rodgers as complicated. That's not a compliment. When you say somebody is complicated and you're quoting somebody who's not around to even put it into context, how do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to take that? Like, you've already said, you know what, he's dividing our fan base. Okay. Now you're quoting Ted Thompson saying Aaron Rodgers is complicated. Complicated is unique is a compliment. Hey, man, he's unique. Complex is almost a compliment.
Right.
Yeah, like, he's complex. But when you say, you know, quoting Ted Thompson here, he's complicated. That's not a compliment. Yes, Todd.
To me, that's annoying or strange, or I just don't get that guy. All again in the negative vein.
Maybe so, but don't say it. Like, it feels like these are really, there should be trepidation with what you say anywhere to anybody about this situation here. Do I think he's going to be traded? I don't. Do I think he's with the Packers next season? Probably not. But I've said all along, I don't think he's going to be traded because he can't trade himself. And the Packers are not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. But we're going to get to the point in a couple of weeks now where we're going to find out how awkward this is really going to be. But don't quote anybody. Don't say anything. How about you keep it generic? And he's, you know, as Ted Thompson said, he's complicated. Okay. Yeah, Paul.
I just checked the chart. He's complicated is just one above. He's a handful. He's a handful is the next step down from he's complicated. He's complex is a step up because it made you think that he's cerebral and smart. He's a handful is on the negative side.
I wonder if he rolled his eyes when he said it. He's complicated.
Yes, if you roll the eyes, that exacerbates he's a handful.
Yes,
he's close to being known as a piece of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Right. A piece of work is down from he's a handful.
Yes, Todd.
It doesn't make it okay, but it's easy to get loose in these things as opposed to when you're at a press conference and you got mic flags in front of you and everything and you're maybe more guarded on what you're going to say because it's obvious that every little facial expression and word you're going to say is going to be all over the radio and TV and the newspapers. When you're at some sports bar at some convention or a speaking engagement, you don't realize that all of a sudden this same thing could get picked up by a lot of people.
Well, if he doesn't realize that, then he's very naive. I mean, everybody's got a cell phone. And, you know, somebody's going to tell somebody, oh, yeah, he referred to Aaron Rodgers, said he's complicated. Maybe they didn't even get the quoting the former GM Ted Thompson with the Packers, putting it in context. It doesn't matter. You called him complicated. But if you say he's complicated, but I mean that in a positive way because there's so many facets to him and he's got so many interests and he's such a thought-provoking guy. Like you could spin it. Call your wife complicated. See how that works. Hey, honey, you know what? You're complicated. How about you call her high maintenance while you're at it? Yeah, Paulie.
Thank you all for coming to this Packers booster event. We're going to have a great season. Everyone put their phones away. It's just us chatting here. Yeah. Can't wait to get rid of that old guy, get Jordan Love into the lineup. Don't tell anybody. Yep. Just us talking.
Hey, you know what? He is complicated.
Bar is open.
Yeah. Get some phone calls here. By the way, don't miss the Peacock original, The Greatest Race. Discover the teammates who pulled off an astonishing comeback in the 4x100 relay, the 2008 Beijing Olympics. It's The Greatest Race, and it's streaming now only on Peacock. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to get started. Let's see. Jeremy in Alabama leads us off this hour. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking the call. I am 6'2 and a half and a lean 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. I've got two best, and I want to pay tribute to Todd Fritz with a mock headline.
Okay.
My best one is the Suns winning. When the Lakers went out, I'm all in on watching the playoffs. Pulling for the Suns because I used to – Thunder Dan Marley was my man back in the day, and I always loved the Suns. My second best was I got a chance to hang out this weekend in Nashville with Bradley Constant. He plays the high school-aged Rock on Young Rock. Super cool dude. That was awesome. And my mock headline is mediocre. Nuggets get swept by the Suns.
Okay. Yoker. Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Okay. I like that. All right.
Nicely done.
Todd, any response?
I just had the one I think I sent you guys out last night. As soon as it happened, I thought of ejected as opposed to ejected.
I'm into it.
Which got mixed reviews.
I like it. It made me laugh.
Okay. I'm going to say thumbs down. Yeah,
I was proud of that for a little while, instead of reading the positive ones, you look on Facebook or Twitter, and then you read the negative ones, and those are the ones that eat you up, and you forget about anybody that said it was anything good.
Can you let it eat you up that you just put out a mock headline?
Unfortunately for me and my sensitivity level, you want everyone to like it and give you smiley faces and roses.
It doesn't work that way.
Rather get no reaction or, that clever or I like that one or good job. But once you get the, different GIFs or GIFs and images, and it gets a little mean out there in the social media landscape.
I know you were pouting on Friday due to your limerick.
I was a little bit because I think we egged that on a little bit. I believe sometimes our reaction is that, some of the trolls on social media, they don't know what they're supposed to think. And they look to us. Oh, if they like it, I guess I'll like it too. If they think it's stupid or annoying or overdone, then I'm going to just jump on that.
I told you I like your limericks.
You did.
Okay. So I'm not trying
I'm just saying in general, they read the room and they're like, yeah, I guess that was bad.
I'm the one saying I like your limericks. If they're reading the room, I say I like it.
Fair enough.
And I thought that mock headline was awesome, Todd.
Thank you.
God.
It was a really good one.
I appreciate it.
Great way to start out the Monday.
But here it is on a Friday. It's a meat Friday. And then, Todd's moping. And I said,
moping,
oh,
but I was in the early stages of moping.
Well, it's hard to tell, but I said, oh, my God. Are you, what are you reacting to? Your limerick? And he goes, yeah, there's trolls out there, and, they read the room, and if you guys don't like it, I said, Todd, do I say I like your limericks? Yeah, but...
I was a baby a little bit on that.
How do you think they feel, though? They're being called trolls instead of people who just don't think it's funny.
Yes.
I mean, some people just don't think it's funny.
Do you think the people being called trolls are, moping right now?
Yeah, they're offended.
No. What's wrong?
No, but Paulie has a good point. If it's anything that's, contrary to the reaction I want, then they fall into the troll category.
Yes, Seton.
I feel like, this may be a little narcissistic of me, or paranoid or something, but I feel like Todd is sort of speaking around me while being in the same room as being the... You know, they read the room about people who don't like the limericks.
Well, it's not just you. It's everybody have, you know, mixed comments or rolls their eyes or whatever, because they're very specific on social media.
It's true. It's not just him who doesn't like the limericks.
Yeah, there's a lot of other people.
I was almost starting to feel bad, but now I don't.
Let's take a break. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend, and we'll do so right after this Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There is no limit on how much you can earn. It's pretty amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Clippers are attempting to become the first team in NBA history to overcome multiple 0-2 deficits in the same postseason. I said we would hear from the Joker and the MVP on why he got ejected in the third quarter.
I thought I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off a little bit.
Yeah, I understand it. You can't put yourself in that position, but it's the wind up there. He does get the ball, but he does clip Payne's face or nose there. And I think because of the wind up, that's where he got tossed. Would I have tossed him? No. In a situation like that? No. His coach, Michael Malone, wanted to know or was asked about, would LeBron have been tossed in a similar situation?
Do you think LeBron gets ejected in the same situation?
I'm not going to touch the second one. I'll let you write on that.
Okay. And that's very smart. Michael finally said something smart at these press conferences, and that was, do I think LeBron gets tossed? No, I don't. No, I don't. But why? It feels like everything always comes back to LeBron, and he's not in the playoffs. It's like, hey, KD, can you be like LeBron? You know, LeBron's done this before with lesser talent. Can you do it? Of course, I brought that up in the first hour as well, so I'm guilty. Yes, Todd?
Is that an immediate fine if Malone said, there's no way they're going to kick LeBron out, but they'll kick my guy out?
Probably.
That's definitely going to get a fine.
Probably. Probably so. Yes, McLevin.
I got a little bit of trouble on Twitter last night by claiming that the Denver Nuggets were much more exciting when Jokic went out.
Oh, my God.
But they were. It was super fun. They went on a crazy run. They narrowed the lead. All these guys I'd never heard of. Monty Morris and Campazzo and like a G League team all of a sudden was challenging the Suns.
Why do you do this?
Well, I had to double down on my anti-Joker take from remember that, but and I kind of quieted down the second half of the season when he dominated everybody.
Yeah, it's true. And then he won the MVP, and now you're crowing.
Yes, because as you mentioned, he's the only MVP to get swept out of the Magic who got hurt. As you mentioned last week, yeah. He wasn't even healthy.
The Joker's feelings got hurt when his coach accused the team of quitting in the previous game, so maybe, you know, a little sensitivity there. Maybe that's why he was trying to change the energy. Yes, Paul.
Another thing in that game I just noticed, the Suns, they shot 94% from the free throw line. Nuggets shot 66%. Yeah. There's the game. If it's close, the Nuggets win.
Yeah, and free throws are going to be probably going to play a big role here from now on out. Nobody wants to talk about free throws. But if you look at some of these players, some of these teams, how well you shoot free throws. I mean, the Suns went 29 of 31 from the line. That's a great weapon. And then you got the Greek Freak who can't shoot, and Ben Simmons who can't shoot. Yes, McClellan.
If the Sixers end up playing the Bucks, I don't even want to be here, because you're going to come in angry after every game complaining about their foul shooting, because it drives you nuts.
I just don't know how you grow up playing basketball, and this is something you can do by yourself. You don't have to have great athleticism. All you have to do is let me go and practice my form. Now, what you can do. There are different things that you can do to make it more game-like. You can run sprints and like five sprints up and down the floor. Stop, shoot two free throws where you're going to get into a little bit more of how I'm going to feel during a game. If you want to have noise in there, if you want to set the stakes, if I don't make five in a row, then I have to do it again until I make five. Like, there's games you can play here, but these guys get to the line, and as John Barry from the Mothership said last week, or earlier this week, he was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you don't want the spotlight on you. You're all alone at the free throw line, and all of a sudden you start to go, oh, I'm self-aware. And you don't shoot your free throws well. He said, look, I played one season with Shaq. He'd make 17 or 18 out of 20 in practice. And then you go to the line. Like, a lot of it is mental. Because, you know, you're just, there's nobody to blame. There's nobody there. It's just you, dribble, shoot. Yes, Todd.
And just because we get used to something doesn't make it okay. It's like when Ben Simmons goes to the line, oh, and we expect him to miss one or both of them. You know, that's not acceptable. It's not okay to say, oh, that's Ben Simmons. He's probably going to miss one or both. Or someone that strikes out a lot and we just look past it because that guy, that's just his thing, missing foul shots.
Yes, Paul.
Speaking of mental, my favorite thing in the playoffs is Jeff Van Gundy, the ESPN analyst. He's going to go crazy with Giannis's free throws because, you know, Giannis takes the full 10 seconds to shoot him.
God.
Yesterday, Van Gundy was talking. He goes, the team told us that he shoots 100 to 200 free throws a day. With his wind up to shoot a free throw, that means he must be shooting free throws for 7 or 8 hours because each one is 10 seconds. Because how does his voice is cracking?
Yeah. The longer you take, this happens in golf all the time where you're putting and you're waiting. Sergio Garcia famously. Grip, re-grip, grip, re-grip, grip, re-grip. Just get up there. Swing. The more you think, the worse it gets. Athletes don't think. They react. They think when they're practicing for the moment to react. But you can't get to the line and go, 1, 2, 3. Like my visualization, it should be, get it. I would take two dribbles, left hand, put it in my right hand, shoot it. That'd be it. Left, bang, bang, right, boom. That'd be it. Simple. Yeah, Paul.
It's like Groundhog Day. We have this conversation every year on this show, and there's some NBA star who cannot shoot free throws when that's really all he has to do for a living. He doesn't have to drive the bus or do anything else for his team. Fascinating.
And the Greek Freak is not getting better. Like, he's getting worse. At the free throw line. Like 3 years ago, he's shooting 77%. Now you're down to 64%. You don't have a reliable outside shot at all. You have two moves. You do a lot of wonderful things. But in the playoffs, he gets exposed because he only does one or two things. Dwight Howard famously never had a signature move in an entire Hall of Fame career. Never had a signature move. Never developed one. The Greek Freak needs help to be able to, like, be that go-to guy because he's not that go-to guy in the playoffs. I think he's a wonderful talent, but he's got to get better at shooting. At least you have to at least go, like, Brooke Lopez should get together with the Greek Freak because Brooke Lopez famously didn't take threes until we goaded him into, hey, will you take a three in the All-Star game? And he did. And then he's become a very reliable three-point shooter. He should help the Greek Freak. Yes, Eden.
Can you teach someone better shot selection, though? I mean, form is one thing, right? But a lot of Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's not bad, by the way. That's pretty good.
No, that's pretty good.
His shot selection has just been pretty terrible.
Yes. There are
times, can you teach that?
I guess you can. Yeah, I think having the awareness of where am I on the floor, what are the numbers, and should I be taking this shot? Because he'll come down and pull up from three, and it's like when you open up a ladder. He kind of shoots as if you're opening up a ladder, and it does not look good at all. Yeah, McClub.
I thought that the Cognoscente told him he had to shoot that shot to keep people honest.
The Cognoscente.
Like, because haven't we been telling Ben Simmons to take that shot? Because Giannis just takes it so you'll come up on him so he can drive past you. And it doesn't work in the playoffs, but in the regular season, it's okay.
But
those are Andrew's two favorite players, by the way, Ben Simmons and Giannis.
Oh,
I know.
I like Giannis. I'm not a Simmons fan.
Yes,
but
he's something, isn't he, back there?
But wait,
I don't even know what that means.
I thought Giannis had to shoot that to open things up. He just has not hit any of them.
You have to make those. It's not that you shoot, though. If you said, hey, Greek Freak's going to be taking threes, the Nets are going, hell yes, this is good. Keep shooting. You know? So it's one thing to take them. It's another thing to make them. He needs to make them. That would be a little more important than just taking them.
What about Ben Simmons? Should he just take some, even though he's probably not going to hit them? I feel like he should take them and miss them. I think that's better than what he does now.
Well, he looks better at taking that shot than the Greek Freak does.
But he never does, though.
No, he just doesn't have any confidence. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He has no confidence. It's Lonzo Ball. You can see that they're sort of paralyzed when they're wide open. Barry in Long Island is back. Hey, Barry, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, fellas. Best of the weekend. I hate to bring up hockey again, but the little engine that could, my New York Islanders, go into Tampa Bay, take game number one of the Stanley Cup semifinals. Worst of the weekend, ran out of propane mid-grill, but was able to salvage the wings under the broiler.
All right.
Nobody was hurt.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you for that update. Marco in Arizona is back. Hey, Marco.
Buenos dias, Dan Patrick Show, Dan Nation. How is everyone this morning?
Absolutely spectacular.
Of course, DP. Hey, man, by the way, nickname for you, I'm surprised you didn't drop it on us, man, the Velvet Hammer. We need that T-shirt. Anyway, we're sweeping people in Phoenix, baby. The basketball squad has to be recognized. Shout out to my boy Eric and Laura, letting me watch the game with them last night. Shout out to my sister and Austin as well. Lori, love you. But listen, man, my best of the best, even though Phoenix is crushing the game right now, was UFC 23 flyweight Brandon Moreno, the first Mexican UFC fighter to ever have a belt. This is Mexico's first belt. And UFC 263 was fantastic, man. I don't know if you got a chance to look, but the whole card was amazing. Israel Adesanya is doing his thing. But, yeah, man, 116-degree heat today. We love y'all. We love you, Nation. Be good, everybody.
Thank you, Marco. That's Marco. Yeah, I watched some of the Nate Diaz fight just because I'm fascinated that Nate Diaz is – he's got a few losses. But, man, does he – when he fights until the very end and nearly stole that fight. Winthrop in North Carolina. Winthrop.
Hey, Dan. How are you today?
Great. Great win.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the state of baseball on the show lately, rightly so. And I got to tell you, if you're worried about the game itself, you shouldn't be, because the college game is amazing right now. I've been watching the Super Regionals this last weekend, specifically my Virginia Cavaliers beat Dallas Baptist University in a real pitcher's duel. It was nothing in well into the seventh inning, and it was just great to see the strategy of the coaches, small ball, and all the rest. So I just think that Major League Baseball is got major problems. They maybe should look to the college game for some relief. The worst of the weekend is all the umpire reviews during these games. I mean, a guy slides into second, and the umpire's got to review it. A guy slides in at home, the umpire's got to review it. I want to give a shout out to Seton. I think Nevermind is a great idea.
All right. Well, thank you, Winthrop.
Bye bye.
We're not sure if that's the idea for the calendar, but it could be with Seton. He is recreating album covers for our calendar.
You might also take that back once you see said album cover.
I'm not going to let them see that month. We might reveal some other months, some photos that we've taken so far, because I want that to be a surprise. Sort of like your Thanksgiving surprise for everybody. And you've ruined Thanksgiving for thousands. Yes, Paul.
So even if Seton's month is July, we're going to put it after December in our calendar. Like, we should just move July to the very end, like November, December, July.
There's some great, great photos. It's going to be so much fun, but we'll let you know when you can pre-order the calendar there. Yes, Seton.
Yeah, it's a doozy. There's I think there's a few this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun. And I said that everybody can pick whatever album cover they want. And we picked two apiece, and there are some rejected ones as well. But it's pretty good. Todd, best and worst of the weekend?
Best of the weekend, Playoff P showing up for Game 3 at Staples Saturday night. 31 points, 6 three-pointers to help the Clippers get back into the series with the Jazz. My worst, an incredible tennis match between Novak Djokovic and Rafa Nadal on Friday afternoon. Unfortunately, had to end in just 4 sets. Incredible volleys, shots. Bummed it didn't go the distance to a 5th set because there was just some incredible tennis going on.
Thank you, Todd. McLovin?
Would you prefer if I sang my best or should I just tell you about my best?
Oh, sing it.
In the Heights. Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda's play In the Heights movie came out this weekend.
Okay.
Watch it. The Oscar race is over.
Oh, okay.
Best picture, for sure. Lots of other Oscars are going to come out.
Now, this came out prior to Hamilton.
Right. This was his play that he wrote before Hamilton that got him to be sort of a thing. And they did a movie version. It's really, really well done.
Okay.
It's on HBO Max and in theaters. Yeah, worse, I guess, Danny Green injury. I don't know, though, if that's good or bad for the 76ers. He's out with a calf strain, so they have to start somebody else. I don't know what's happening in the Eastern Conference.
Seton O'Connor, best and worst.
My best of the weekend is the captain of the Denmark team, who was this guy, Simon Kjær. He was the first person there when Christian Eriksen went down. And this dude basically single-handedly... He played a major role in saving Christian Eriksen's life. He was there. He was the first guy to do CPR on him, unblocked his breathing ways, his airways. He rounded up his teammates to surround Christian Eriksen so he could have some privacy. He was the dude comforting Christian Eriksen's wife when that happened. He kind of took over the whole show. And
well, he's got a new nickname. Urgent.
Urgent Kjær.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I'll catch on.
Yeah.
Yep. Dude is a hero for sure.
Now, your worst?
My worst is I could have used him. Perhaps he's better at applying some sunblock.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm once again losing that battle.
Like you.
You know what's funny, too, about this show? It has a funny way of consuming your life. Because as soon as I got home and saw, I felt my forehead. I was like, dang, I think I might have got sunburned. And I looked at my, soon as I saw my face, I thought, well, the morning meeting's taken care of.
Yep.
Immediately. It was the first, not like, dang, what happened? I thought I put sunblock on or whatever. Like, oh, well, Paul's all set.
Yep.
Morning meeting's good.
Makes Paulie's job easier. But I walked in and I looked over. I go, oh, my God, Seton. And he goes, what? What? And I said, you're burnt. He goes, the rest of me's not, but just my face is. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
Seton looks like a guy in a movie who gets sunburned, where it's that extreme where it's like, it's red and sweaty and shiny.
Best and worst, Paul.
Best of the week. I've been watching a lot of college baseball. You don't need to know any of the names.
And Winthrop from North Carolina have been watching a lot of baseball.
It's fun. I don't really know any of the teams, any of the players. I was watching Dallas Baptist yesterday. I don't even know. I'm guessing they're in Dallas. But I love the ping.
Baptist.
I enjoy the. I don't really think they should have metal bats in the pros or anything, but I love the ping, the sound of the ping in college baseball. And then, as I guaranteed years ago, Dan, with the Michael Phelps bet that he would participate and swim in the Olympics, Michael Phelps in the building yesterday for the Olympic swim trials. Now, he didn't get in the pool, which kind of hampers my side of it, but he was in the building and looked ready to race.
Yeah, it's not happening.
He looked ready to go.
Not happening. I like how we have a caller saying, hey, baseball's in good hands with college baseball. Well, you play that way in college. You're not going to play that way in the major leagues. It's just a completely different game. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more phone calls. Mark Jackson, the ESPN NBA analyst, will join us coming up next hour. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Father's Day gifts. Make sure you go to danpatrick.com. Last minute shopping. Some great t-shirts there. Hats, coffee mugs. Also, pick up a bag of Penny's dog biscuits there. If they're good for Penny, good enough for Penny, they're good enough for your dog as well. Yeah, Seton.
Good enough for Tyler, too, apparently.
Yeah, Tyler eats those. I got this bag of Penny dog biscuits, and you know, we partnered with a company. And I would watch on a monitor here where Tyler is in the back, and like this monitor that's up now on Peacock, if you're watching, and there's a bag there in front of Tyler, and I've like he's got them right now. It's like vanilla wafers is what it looks like. So if it's good enough for Tyler, by the way, that's Winnie. That's Winnie's little cage there where she naps during the show. She gets worn out in the morning with Penny. They run around. And that's her sleeping. So let's be quiet. It's like, you know, there's a baby sleeping.
Oh, like golf course voice we had to.
Yeah. But Marvin always walks through and Marvin's like, yeah. All right. You know, he'll be like, nice, the baby's sleeping. And they'll be like, oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Baby's sleeping back there. Don't wake her. All right. Update the poll results there, McLovin.
Okay, first hour was who's coming out of the West. The Jazz ran away with that, like 68% over the other two teams. Second hour, who's coming out of the East? The Bucks, Nets, Sixers, or Hawks? Bucks 44%, the Nets down at 24% in second place.
Yeah, I just don't know the severity of Chris Paul. And sometimes when you suffer a sprained ankle, it doesn't feel as bad when you sprain it, and then it starts to swell. And then when you're not able to be walking on it, then that's where you start to get that pain. I don't know. He was in a walking boot, Kyrie was, after the game. But I don't know. He's got 2 days to try to rehab that. But that is an injury that won't go away. Not this year during the postseason. And the same thing with James Harden. Not going to go away. We know that Joel Embiid is going to need surgery on his knee, you know, in the offseason. That's not going away either. This is a battle of attrition. You look at the Lakers, it wasn't a question of if, but when one of the two was going to get hurt. It turned out to be Anthony Davis, and that cost them. Being healthy, trying to stay healthy, how many of your players are healthy? If the Milwaukee Bucks cannot beat the Brooklyn Nets, then there's going to be changes in Milwaukee. You can pretty much guarantee that. And that usually starts with the head coach. Yeah, Paul.
Here's a poll. If you were Steve Nash, who would you prefer to have healthy for the rest of the playoffs? And you can't, the other one's not healthy. They don't come back. Kyrie Irving or James Harden. You get them fully healthy for the rest of the playoffs. The other one's out.
It's weird, but I think Kyrie and Durant play well together, better together. They're friends. Harden, to me, is a better player, but I would probably go with Kyrie with Durant because I think they sort of understand each other a little bit better. Yeah, Seton.
And I think, too, because Kyrie's won before,
yeah,
which is just players always talk about, like, you don't know what it takes to get over that hump or, like, what it takes to be a champion and pushing that extra level. So to have Kyrie and Durant doing that together makes sense.
You know, Milwaukee played really good defense. They forced 17 turnovers. That matches Brooklyn's total turnovers in the previous two games combined.
Stat of the day.
Whoa.
Stat of the day.
Bum.
Stat of the day.
76ers Hawks game four and Jazz Clippers game four as well. Paulie sent me a note. He said, here's a list of big bands that never had a top 10 hit. And I go, all right, well, send it to me. And I thought, all right, let me look at this. Black Sabbath, AC/DC, Rush, Jethro Tull, Jimi Hendrix, the Ramones. Who else is in here? Bob Marley and the Wailers. Jethro Tull did not have a top. This is top 20 hit?
Top 10 Billboard, like when the song came out.
Okay.
Like a band like AC/DC, Hell's Bells, Rock You All Night Long, Shook You All Night Long.
Highway to Hell.
Yeah, those seem like top 10 hits at the time.
Yes, Seton.
I think, Andrew, not to get you upset, but Lou Reed, no top 10 hits. Just saying.
Oh, Walk on the Wild Side didn't cross through?
Nope.
Squeeze, I would have thought, just because they were a poppy band.
Their biggest hit was Pulling Muscles from a Shell.
Yes.
On 86.
Yeah.
The Black Coffee in Bed.
Yeah.
Coffee in Bed.
Yeah. Squeeze That's a fun little sing-along band.
Pulling muscles from a shell.
Traffic. Now, Traffic didn't write songs that would have been top 10 hits. Hendrix, I would have thought maybe. But All Along the Watchtower, I'm guessing. What's Hendrix's biggest hit?
I think it's All Along the Watchtower, and that got to 20.
Okay.
According to Billboard.
Yeah.
Is that, does it matter that that's a cover of Dylan? It still qualifies, right?
Yeah. Bob Marley, I Shot the Sheriff.
Huh. I wonder if Eric Clapton made it, though.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, Clapton's version of I Shot the Sheriff, but I Didn't Shoot the Deputy. No Woman, No Cry by Bob Marley. But I don't know. Redemption? I don't know. It's pretty tough to make it into the top 10. Because it's not just top 10 of rock and roll bands. Yeah, Paul.
Well, I think we got this because about a dozen people saw Rush on there and sent it to me on social media.
Mm.
I wasn't surprised because Rush, when like Tom Sawyer came out, it was still underground. Spirit of the Radio.
But The Weight by the band? Yeah, Seton.
Eric Clapton's version peaked at number one.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Ramones? Blitzkrieg Bop? I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. Iron Maiden would not be there. Black Sabbath, no. Traffic, no. Little surprised at AC/DC. Little surprised at Squeeze. Maybe a little surprised at Hendrix. The Ramones, I thought maybe they would get one in there. And Bob Marley, I would have thought I Shot the Sheriff. Yes, Bowen?
I would love to get a list of awful bands who had two top 10 hits. Like, we know one-hit wonders, like Dexy's Midnight Runners. But is there a band that had no longevity, is considered a joke? Like Chumbawamba, I don't think, had a second hit. Yeah. I'm guessing.
But did Milli Vanilli have two top 10 hits?
Oh, that's a good call.
They might have.
Oh, because they had Blame It on the Rain.
And Girl, You Know It's True.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys knew those really fast.
Wow. Yeah.
And the fact that that meltdown happened across the street from ESPN at Lake Compounds, that they were on the stage at the amusement park that's right across the street from ESPN. In
Skipping and the dude, the girl, know, you know, it's girl. He's trying to dance like it's
you
the
know, girl, you know, girl, you know, girl, you know.
Girl, you know it. Girl, you know it.
Yeah, Paulie.
I got a few two-hit wonders.
Okay.
Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, Good Vibrations went number one, and a song called Wild Side was number 10.
Mm.
Interesting.
What else do you have in there?
I'm going through the list.
How about Matchbox 20?
Uh-oh, Cisco.
Cisco had two top.
Thong Song went number 3, and a song called Incomplete, which I'm not familiar with, was number 1.
Yes, Todd.
Tone Loc, Wild Thing, and Funky Cold Medina. I don't really think he did much beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, probably a few two-hit wonders in there.
I think Matchbox 20 had a lot of big hits.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Rob Thomas is still performing.
The Rembrandts, they've had two.
Well, they got the one from the Friends theme song.
Yeah, and then another one called Just the Way It Is, Baby.
Mm. That's the follow-up to that, whatever that Friends theme song is. The remix there. More phone calls coming up. We'll talk to Mark Jackson from the Mothership on the games coming up tonight. Back after this, final hour on this Monday. Dan Patrick Show. One more item, second hour, and played golf this weekend. Before I play, I like to put on the CBD from Level Select. This is their sports creams, roll-ons. Cadenwood is the company that's the leader in CBD. So you get great relief prior to playing golf, after you play golf, if you work out, if you run, if you ride a bike, you're going to get great results. Ricky Fowler uses it. The baseball legend Steve Garvey, former quarterback Carson Palmer, all use Level Select CBD with great results daily. In fact, when we had Carson on, this is a couple of months ago, he talked about Level Select CBD and how it keeps him active, and whether he's skiing with his kids or he's playing football. Pro athletes use Level Select CBD because it works, but you don't have to be a professional athlete to appreciate the relief that Level Select CBD can provide. Now, you can get 30% off all your products, Level Select CBD. The promo code is Dan30. LevelSelectCBD.com. The promo code is Dan30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, in South Dakota.